And I believe this is the disconnect for the majority of our society, military and everybody else, is that we all want level 10 success and fulfillment and happiness, but very few people are dedicating time each day to developing themselves into a level 10 person.
You're listening to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the number one resource for active duty veterans and their families who want to learn how to build real wealth through real estate investing. Each week, we sit down with top military real estate investors, industry experts, and leaders who share their secrets to success in the real estate game. Now,
get off your ass,
get motivated, and take action to make your financial freedom dreams a reality.
Hey, ADPI Nation, Kevin here. Before we start this week's show, I want to take a quick second to talk about systems. The business systems that you put in place will determine your success and your financial future. Well, I got news for you. No one teaches you these systems, not in school, and unfortunately not in the military either. That's why the ADPI team banded together to create the best and most comprehensive system that anyone out there, no matter their level, could learn from and build upon. We call it our Military Real Estate Investing Academy. Our 80 plus lesson course will take you from real estate newbie to full-fledged military real estate investor and action taker. Click the link in the show notes and use code ATOM, A-T-O-M, at checkout for $300 off today. That's code ATOM, A-T-O-M, for $300 off today. Now, let's start the show. ADPI Nation, it's good to be live. It's good to be back. We are back with another incredible guest. And yeah, I say that every single week because every guest is incredible. And I'm biased because I like the flavor of the week. And this flavor is Hal Elrod, because Hal Elrod is super incredible. I mean, the man's story blows my mind, right? And it's so incredible that we had to bring on Eric Upchurch, the man, the myth, the legend, to help me co-host this, because if I did it alone, I would certainly miss all of the important questions to Hal. But for those of you who have no idea who Hal Elrod is, you know, and this is, if you've listened to previous episodes, we've interviewed David Osborne, who helped Hal write this book, right? The Miracle Morning Millionaires, which is my personal favorite of the Miracle Morning series. But Hal has wrote 12 books, produced a movie, sold over 2.5 million copies of one book alone, The Miracle Morning, and truly started a movement of people who are literally changing their lives one morning at a time. I mean, they're raising the bar by just simply capturing the time that most of us take for granted. And you read this book and you're like, I can kind of do that. And maybe. But then you start doing it. And I started doing it, and you capture productivity like you've never done before. And it's cool because for folks in the military community, we're used to waking up early. I mean, hey, you got to be in formation at 5:30 in the morning. You got to get your butt out of bed. So really, our miracle morning might be even before then, where we have that quiet time before we're getting ready for PT, or that silence, you know, before the kids are up and all of that stuff. And you're going out the door to PT, and you have that time to think, contemplate, and run your savers. And we're going to talk about that. But Hal Elrod, incredible guest. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And we're here to really dig in. And I'm going to get this interview started with one question for you, Hal, right now. What is your beef with afternoons and evenings, dude?
I like it. it's a
question that I'll put a spin on that question, which is people ask me, they go, okay, I learned the Miracle Morning, which is made up of six practices known as the acronym SAVERS, S-A-V-E-R-S. It's your silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing. Six practices. And people will say, hey, could I do the SAVERS in the afternoon or the evening? Like, what, you know, those six practices are life-changing, but wouldn't they be life-changing any time of day? The answer is yes and not exactly. Yes, that if you practice the SAVERS any time of day, they're going to be transformative for you, right? But there is a very strategic, powerful component to starting your day with the practices, because you're putting yourself in a peak physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state first thing in the morning. showing up at your best so that you can bring that version of you to everything you do that day. Like you said, it increases your productivity. You are a better parent, a better spouse, a better leader, a better entrepreneur, right? You are the best version of yourself in the morning. So to wait until, you know, the afternoon or the evening to experience those benefits where you're like, yeah, I'll meditate in the evening. You know, yeah, that's great. I do both, right? But I want that clarity of mind first thing in the morning, right? I do a hardcore workout later in the morning, but I want my blood and oxygen flowing to my brain first thing in the morning, right? So the practices of the Miracle Morning, you could do them in the afternoon or the evening, but you're missing out on the benefits that you sustain by doing them first thing in the morning, who that makes you for the day, and then showing up at your best all day long.
Hal, I got a question for you. To get really some meat for military members who already wake up at 5 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning, what is something you would recommend they do out of the savers, out of the six categories you just mentioned? What do you think is the most important element that they can take away before they go to PT? Because they're going to get physical training. They're going to get their stuff in the morning. But what can they do to prepare themselves and to really capture that if they already get up really early and have duties that happen before 5 a.m. or before 6 a.m.?
Yeah, good question. So I'll say this. The six practices that are the savers, a couple things. One is the amount of time that you dedicate to the savers is completely scalable and customizable. So there's a chapter in the Miracle Morning book called the 6-Minute Miracle Morning. And that wasn't like a clever idea. That was literally from me having those mornings where I didn't have 30 minutes or 60 minutes to do a full-blown Miracle Morning routine. And so I would do what most of us do, which is like, it's this all or nothing mentality. You're like, I've only got 10 minutes. So I just won't do it today. Right. And then one day I just realized I was doing that repeatedly. And I went, what if I did a 6-minute version? What if I did 1 minute of meditation? And then I pulled out my affirmations that I've already got written that clarify, not the cheesy affirmations that are like, I'm amazing, I'm powerful, right? Like, nothing wrong with those. But for me, my affirmations are reminding me what I'm committed to in my life, who I need to be, who I'm committed to being to accomplish those things, and specifically what I'm committed to doing and when. That's what I'm affirming every day, right? I am putting myself in a state that this is what I'm committed to in my life. This is who I need to be. This is how I'm committed to showing up. Here's what I'm going to do and when. That's what I'm affirming. So 1 minute of doing that is a game changer, right? And then the V for visualization. So again, you go through those six practices, you can do 1 minute for each of those practices. So even someone that's going to PT, right, you can do a 6-minute version of the savers before you go to PT. And I always say too, most folks that do the Miracle Morning, they do a 30-day challenge to start out, and they usually do all of the savers. And I always say, then you can really customize. You can figure out during those 30 days, you know what? I really resonate more with visualization, right? Or affirmations. Or like for me, for example, when I started the Miracle Morning, affirmations, I was totally turned off by the way that they were taught by, you know, self-help gurus for however long, right? It's like, it's these really cheesy, like pump yourself up statements. And then the more I practiced affirmations, I realized that at their essence, they're just reminders of what matters most to you. You're just you're basically writing out the blueprint that what you need to be remembering and focusing on every single day. And then in the morning, you're reading those. So point is that you can really customize what it is that you do. If it were me, I'd spend that a little, you know, a minute or two or three in silence. I would pull out my affirmations. Those are probably, and then I would pull out my journal. That's the final S in savers, is scribing. And I would write down three things I'm grateful for, right? To really remind myself that, yeah, life's got its challenges. Yeah, I got a lot of problems. Yeah, I got a lot of things that cause me stress. But remember, I have these blessings that I don't want to take for granted. So I think those three would be the biggest for me. It'd be silence, affirmations, and then scribing.
Right. And you could probably argue that silence, affirmations, and visualization can be done on the way to PT in the car, if for no other better way to do it, right? Before you even get there. Or when you park in the parking lot before formation, you're getting out there, just take that 6 minutes and do whatever you can from savers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the idea is that you're being intentional, right? You're being intentional. You're not, most of us wake up and we're reactive from the go, right? The alarm clock goes off. We're reactive from the go and we're reacting to our day. We're reacting to other people, et cetera, et cetera. Versus saying, this is who I'm committed to being today. Like right now, the world is a crazy place. I think we can all agree. And when we focus on things that are out of our control, we feel out of control. That's what leads to anxiety and depression and, you know, fear, so on and so forth. And over the last 2 years, that which is out of our control has been amplified by every media source. And I'm not just talking about mainstream media. I'm talking about the government. I'm talking about you name it. Like what is out of our control, we've never had it thrown so in our face and had our own rights taken away from us. Literally that, you know, take away control of things that used to be, hey, I can go to a restaurant whenever I want. I can do, you know, I can live my life as long as I don't hurt anybody. I can do whatever I want, right? And those, some of those freedoms have been taken away. And so the idea that the only thing we can control at the end of the day is ourselves. And so how do you, the Miracle Morning in its essence, it's about how do you optimize yourself every day so that you can optimize your life?
Yeah, I love that. I want to take this back to the origins, Hal. You, a lot of people don't know this, but you have been through a lot in your life. There was a time where you were actually dead for over 6 minutes. And that to me is incredible. And we're obviously that your entire community is grateful that you're here. And that's not the only near-death experience that you've experienced. But I bring that up because I want to dig deep into why you developed the Miracle Morning and how that first kind of near-death experience shaped who you are and maybe refocused what you may have already known on the inside or refocused your internal mission to say, this is what I was meant to do in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. So quick summary of what you're referencing. When I was 20 years old, I was driving home from giving a speech at an event that I spoke at an event for our company. I was in sales and, that night driving home I had a brand new Ford Mustang. It was my first new car. I was 20 years old. I just bought this, you know, my kind of the dream car that I could afford, the Mustang. And, driving home that night, a man in a Chevy full-size truck I had never met before left the bar, few beers in and coming down the highway. I don't remember seeing the headlights coming at me, but they did. And we collided head on. He hit me head on at 70 to 80 miles per hour. And my car spun off the drunk driver's car. And then the car behind me T-boned me in my door at 70 miles an hour. And if you could imagine getting hit in the door at 70 miles an hour, the entire left side of my body was crushed. I broke 11 bones instantaneously, punctured my lung, ruptured my spleen, fractured my skull. My ear was almost completely severed and I began losing blood. And that night when they finally, with the jaws of life, tore the roof off an hour after I was in this car accident and I'd been losing blood for that hour, I bled to death, as you mentioned, and I was clinically dead for approximately 6 minutes in a coma for 6 days, rushed, airlifted to the hospital in a helicopter, woke up 6 days later to be told I would never walk again and I had permanent brain damage. And I decided that, all right, I will accept what I can't change. And so I had learned something in my sales training a year and a half prior called the 5 minute rule. And it simply said, it's okay to be negative when something goes wrong, but not for more than 5 minutes. We literally were taught to set our timer on our phone for 5 minutes whenever we faced any kind of adversity or disappointment. And we got 5 minutes to bitch, moan, complain, you know, cry, like what, you know, punch a wall, like whatever you got to do, feel your emotions. And then when the timer went off, I was taught three really powerful words. Can't change it. Simple acknowledgement. I can't change what happened 5 minutes ago. So now I got a choice. I can either sit here and be angry about it or upset about it or sad about it or frustrated about it, which doesn't serve me or anybody, or I can acknowledge I can't change it and I can accept it fully and be at peace with whatever's out of my control and focus only on what's in my control. And thank God for that lesson, because I decided if I'm in a wheelchair the rest of my life, if these doctors are correct and I never walk again, I will be the happiest and the most grateful person that you've ever seen in a wheelchair. Because I'm in a wheelchair either way. And I've learned from this 5 minute rule, as simple as it was, to never wish you could change something that you can't change, because it just makes you miserable. It doesn't actually do anything. But at the same time, I also learned that anything is possible. And so I committed, I will walk again. I will put all of my belief and my faith and my energy and my mindset around, I will walk again until proven otherwise. So the beauty of this lesson, I think it's important for all of us, is to accept all that you can't change. And but to expect, you can say it this way, expect the best, accept the rest, right? Expect that your life is going to turn out the way you want it to, but be willing to accept when it doesn't. And if you do that, then you just keep moving over the moguls of life, right? And they don't become brick walls that stop you. You go, oh, this sucks. All right, can't change it, move on. And so 2 weeks after I came out of the coma, the doctors came in with routine x-rays. They had told me I was in denial. They had told my parents I was delusional because I kept saying I was going to walk again. And they came in with x-rays. They said, we don't know how to explain this, but your body is healing so quickly. We're going to let you take your first step today. And so 3 weeks after the crash, I took my first step. And that really leads into the answer to the question that you asked about kind of how did I decide to go down the path that I did. And then we'll get into the miracle morning and how that came to be. But in the hospital, I really asked myself, why did this happen to me? And not from a victim mentality, not why did this happen to me? I don't deserve this, but what can I do with this experience of being told I'm never going to walk again and learning to walk and like, how can I use this? And it's funny, I was, you know, I gave a speech the night of my car accident. I had this dream of being a motivational speaker, but I never had anything to talk about. Like my parents were normal people and like I had a good childhood and I would have never asked for the car accident, but I really decided I'm going to use this as an opportunity to share this story with other people and just kind of with the mindset of like, look, if I could be happy in the midst of being told I was never going to walk again, you can be happy in the midst of your challenges. If I could overcome that adversity and create the life I wanted, so can you. And so that really gave birth to that mindset from that point on that my life is dedicated to fulfilling my potential so that I can help other people to fulfill theirs.
This is maybe a good segue, but you said, you know, overcoming the moguls of life, and that kind of resonated with me because one of the things that I talk about frequently and that we're engaged with Active Duty Passive Income is not only just real estate investing in general, but it's about progression in life after the military and during and finding new sense of purpose. So what advice would you give to a military member, you know, that is struggling with PTSD or adversity in general to get them kind of over that mogul?
Yeah. Well, I want to say, I was diagnosed with PTSD about 2 years ago, and I was diagnosed with cancer 5 years ago, a very rare aggressive form of leukemia. I was given a 20 to 30% chance of surviving. And at that time, my daughter was 7, my son was 4. So you can imagine, you know, being told that there's a 20 to 30% chance you're going to survive or a 70 to 80% chance you're going to die and leave your kids without their dad. It was the hardest time in my life for a lot of reasons. And I made it through, you know, very positive, optimistic, but finally chemotherapy for 3 years caught up with me. And I wasn't sleeping 2 to 4 hours a night. I was hallucinating and, you know, was finally diagnosed with PTSD. So I just want to say that I haven't been in the military, but I can relate to, I was suicidal. I was so in such a dark place and I didn't understand it because that's not who I am. Like it was this identity crisis because I'm like, I'm the guy that teaches people you can handle anything, you can overcome anything, and yet I don't want to live anymore. And so, so I know what it's like to be in the darkest of dark places where I, you know, I'm contemplating how could I kill myself and not hurt my kids emotionally. I was trying to figure that out. Thank God I didn't figure that out. But I will say this, I went back to my miracle morning. I doubled down on my miracle morning, and that is what got me out of that dark place. And there's millions of people around the world that do the miracle morning, and you know, hundreds of thousands of them, if not into the millions, that will tell you that is the one thing that enabled them to overcome their depression or their anxiety or their PTSD. So first and foremost, I want to tell folks there is hope. In fact, here's a perfect kind of segue into answering your question and Kevin answering your question of the origin of the miracle morning. In 2007, when the U.S. economy crashed, I crashed with it. I was an entrepreneur. I was a coach. I lost over half of my clients, half of my income, and then I couldn't pay the bills. I couldn't pay my mortgage. My house got foreclosed on, my first house that I ever bought. And I got in, that was my first time in a really dark place. And I went on a run one day and I heard a quote from Jim Rohn. And this quote's worth writing down if you're listening right now, if you can write this down, because this quote gave birth to the Miracle Morning. This quote's foundational in the answer to both your questions. Jim Rohn said, "Your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development." I'll say that again. Your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development. When I heard that, I realized at that time, again, I had been depressed for 6 months. I was in debt, on and on and on. And I went, wait a minute. I want level 10 success. I think if we're all honest, if we're measuring the level of success we want in our lives in any area, I'm not talking about success professionally. I'm talking about, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, our level of happiness. We want 10. You know, we want to be as happy as we can be in terms of our health and our energy and our relationships. We human beings have this innate desire to, you know, grow and improve and fulfill our potential. And so we want level 10 in every area. But I asked myself, what's my level of personal development right now? And at that time, I wasn't reading, I wasn't meditating, I wasn't journaling, I was surviving, barely surviving. And I honestly was, it was a 2 or 3. Like, my level of personal development was a 2 or 3. And Jim says, your level of success will rarely exceed your level of personal development. So I realized that if we all want level 10 success, but we're at a level 2, we've got to become a level 10 person. And so that's when I had the idea. I thought, I've got to go home and I'm going to research what do the world's most successful people do for personal development. And I'm going to figure out what the best practice is. And I'm going to do that every day so that I can become the level 10 person that I need to be to create the success that I want in my life. And I believe this is the disconnect for the majority of our society, military and everybody else, is that we all want level 10 success and fulfillment and happiness, but very few people are dedicating time each day to developing themselves into a level 10 person in terms of our mindset and our knowledge and our beliefs. And so I ran home and I just Googled, you know, what do the world's most successful people do for personal development, personal growth? And I was looking for one practice, but depending on who you asked and who you read about, from, you know, multimillionaires and billionaires to CEOs to people like Jocko and David Goggins, you know, military folks, and depending on who you asked, they would say, I had a list of 6 practices. It was meditation, which became silence, right? Affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and journaling, which became scribing. And I had a list of 6 practices and I almost threw in the towel because I went, none of these stands out above the others. And I'm trying to figure out what the best one is. And the epiphany was when I went, wait a minute, what if I did all of them? What if instead of picking one of these best practices that the world's most successful people in all walks of life have sworn by for centuries, any one of them is life-changing. What if I did all 6 of them? And I woke up the next morning having never been a morning person, but I felt so inspired to try this. I thought this could be the one thing that changes everything. If I do the 6 most timeless, proven personal development practices in the history of humanity, that's the ultimate morning ritual, period. And so I woke up the next morning like a kid on Christmas. I jumped out of bed. I was excited, went in my living room, and I sucked my way through all of these practices. Like, I had never meditated before. Affirmations felt super goofy, right? I, you know, visualized. I was distracted, on and on. But even going through this first morning, you know, it wasn't called the Miracle Morning. I felt, after that hour, I felt incredible. I felt inspired for the first time in 6 months of depression. I felt hopeful for the first time in 6 months. I felt energized, and I was learning. And I went, if I do this every day, it's only a matter of time before I become the person that I need to be to create the success that I want in my life. And the last thing I'll say on this is how fast it happened. I was thinking this would be like a 1-year process, the compound effect, get 1% better every day. In less than 2 months, sure. In 2008, declining economy, I more than doubled my income. I went from being in the worst shape of my life physically, where I had not exercised for a day in 6 months, to committing to run a 52-mile ultra marathon, and which I had never done anything like that before. And my depression went away in literally day one, because depression is when we lack hope, right? That's the one of the biggest causes of depression. And I'm not trying to, you know, disclaimer, right? I'm not a professional in terms of a psychologist, but I think it's, you know, for me, the common sense cause of depression is when we lose hope. If we don't have hope that life can get better, we start contemplating suicide. We go, well, what's the point? And the longer time goes by without life getting better, the more hopeless we become. And I had been hopeless for 6 months. But the very first miracle morning I did, I had hope again. I went, wait a minute, if I do this every day, if I start every day with this much clarity and energy and confidence and motivation and knowledge to apply to my life, it's only a matter of time. And because it happened so fast, I went to my wife. I go, sweetheart, we just doubled our income. I signed on 2 clients today. We have doubled our income in the last 2 months. It's all because of this morning routine. I go, it feels like a freaking miracle. And she goes, it's your miracle morning. I go, yeah, I like that. Miracle morning. And then, you know, I started teaching it to my coaching clients. Again, it was never a book idea. I taught it to my coaching clients, and almost every single one of them, like many of you listening right now, if you are not a morning person and you're like, I don't like, this sounds good, but I'm not a morning person, like join the club. I wasn't a morning people. None of my clients at the time were morning people. Every single one of them that tried the miracle morning 2 weeks later came back to their call and went, oh my gosh, Hal, it works. I'm having the best week of my career. I'm running again. I'm reading more than I ever have. I've never meditated before. I'm affirming who I'm committed to being, like on and on and on. This miracle morning works. And that's when I went, if it worked for me and I wasn't a morning person and it worked for my clients and they weren't morning people, this could change the world, you know, and started writing the book. And, you know, the rest is kind of history, as they say.
How do you become a successful military real estate investor? It starts with having a strong squad and trustworthy mortgage broker by your side. Hey guys, Kevin here. I wanted to take a quick break from the show to help you fill out your real estate investment dream team. Whether you're looking to fund your first VA house hack, close on an out-of-state turnkey investment, or just have a conversation with a lender who speaks your language, make sure you reach out to ADPI's team of qualified mortgage pros. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team is standing by to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes or simply text DEAL, D-E-A-L, to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show. There's so much to unpack in the last 15 minutes. So if you're listening to this and maybe you're on your lunch break, you're at the gym or something, go back and re-listen to what Hal just said, because it is so critical. And you know, my biggest takeaway from listening and hearing your story in truth, Hal, is you talk about what Eric talked about, right? Going over the moguls of life. And to me, resilience has always been this brick wall that you build one brick at a time. You build this brick wall and you become more resilient. The higher the wall, the more resilient. And then something happens and a big sledgehammer thing, life happens and it crumbles your wall. Then you got to go and pick up the pieces again. You got to go and build the brick wall. But what you mentioned here is that brick wall is now, to me, it's more of a foundation. By doing the miracle morning and by practicing what you're teaching, you're building your wall, but you're also building that as a foundation to which success can be built. And that's something that I never really thought about. It's very impactful for me in this moment right now. Eric, I'm sure you have some takeaways as well.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I'm really reflecting, I'm like looking around at the ceiling and stuff, because it's putting a lot of stuff in my brain that I think about often, which is, you know, and specifically to our military audience, that as long as you are breathing, you have purpose. And Hal, you've done a great job of demonstrating that today. You know, at 20 years old, you knew, or you had some kind of innate like instinct that you wanted to be a motivational speaker, didn't know how it was going to happen, but you had that kind of self-reflection, but then also self-discovery that a motivational speaker could come out of something bad in your life. So in general, kind of now that you are, all of the things that you kind of set out to do with intention, what is inspiring you to be so present in the now and to affect so many people the way you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And another way I've heard it phrased too is like you created the miracle morning when you were in a period of desperation, And now you are essentially kind of where you want to be. Like, why do you still do the Miracle Morning? Which I think those questions kind of go hand in hand. It's because number one, human potential is unlimited, right? So the Miracle Morning, if someone is struggling mentally, emotionally, financially, like I was when I created it, yes, it can be that one thing that turns your life around, right? If someone's succeeding, like if someone's like right now, they're like, no, business is great, marriage, like things are great. The one thing we all have in common is that our potential is unlimited. There's always a next level. I always talk about, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He does the Miracle Morning every day. He talks about it in every speech that he gives. I met him at a GoBundance event. I gave him a signed copy of the book thinking he'll never read this, my little self-published book. But I'm like, well, you know, I'll give it a shot. I gave him the book. And then he reached out 3 weeks later and had me on his show. And he said, my wife and I are doing the Miracle Morning every day, and it's changed our life. And you know, that's somebody that when I gave him the book, his net worth, I had looked it up, it was $80 million, right? So you know, whether you're struggling or you're worth $80 million, like, or anywhere in between, human beings all have that same innate drive and desire to optimize, to maximize, to fulfill our potential. And so that's why for me, that's one side of the coin, is I'm always wanting to become the best version of myself. And that's a never-ending pursuit, right? When you're 90 years old, you can still, I can still learn something new. I can still do something new. I can do something better. I can improve, on and on. But the other part, you asked, why am I sharing it with people? I feel, and this is my own soapbox, if you will, I believe that the greatest gift that we can give to the people that we love and the people that we live, or I'm sorry, lead, the people that we love, the people that we lead, is to fulfill our potential, right? And I believe that we have a responsibility to do so. I believe that I look at humanity as a family. Like, I love you guys. You're my brothers, Eric and Kevin, everybody listening. We're all brothers and sisters. I really believe that. We're all part of the human family. We have a hell of a lot more in common than we have differences, which that's a whole nother soapbox of like, right, all the differences that people are so hyper-focused on. Like, dude, just shut up and love your neighbor. Come on. But anyway, you know, we see, oh, no, you're right. I'm left. You're this, you're that. It's like, no, we're human beings on a human journey. Stop getting caught up in all the little superficial differences. And again, it's another topic. But so for me, I feel a sense of responsibility to dedicate my life to sharing the Miracle Morning with as many people as I possibly can until the day that I die. And part of that is I've got thousands of emails from people and reviews on Amazon and this and that of people saying that the Miracle Morning saved my life. The Miracle Morning saved my marriage. The Miracle Morning enabled me to turn things around. I was going to give up, on and on and on. And so for me, it's like I would be selfish to rest on my laurels and go, nah, I helped enough people, I'm good. No, there's 3 million people that know about the Miracle Morning, and there's 7 billion people that are waiting for me to get my ass up every morning and do everything in my power to share it with them.
Wow. I love that. That is the drive that motivates me. I'm sure it's motivating Eric. I'm sure it's motivating a lot of the listeners who are watching this live right now. For someone who is watching this right now, Hal, and they're like, all right, Hal, I'm convinced. Sign me up. You know, but what do they do? Like, what's the first step that beyond that initial like miniature commitment of just in your head saying like, yeah, I think I'll try this Miracle Morning out. Like, what do you do then?
Yeah. So, I mean, I honestly, and obviously this is self-serving, but reading the book is what has gotten millions of people to do the Miracle Morning. There is a nice step in between there, which is you mentioned that we made a movie, the Miracle Morning movie. It's a documentary that it was originally designed to just kind of show how some of the world's most successful people start their day and show you members of the community, how the Miracle Mornings transformed their life. That's what we set out to do. And halfway through filming, and you know, we feature Robert Kiyosaki and Lewis Howes and Mel Robbins and David Osborne and all these, you know, really successful people, and kind of what does their Miracle Morning look like? Halfway through filming, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I called my director and I said, hey man, the movie's on hold. Like, I've got this really aggressive cancer. I'm in the hospital. It doesn't look good at all. I got to focus on surviving. And he said, I would like to film you recovering. I'd like to film you beating cancer. And I was totally caught off guard. Like, what? You know, I thought the movie was on hold. Anyway, long story short, he was there at my darkest moments, capturing that journey. He said, Hal, I know you're going to beat it, and we're going to inspire millions of people by them seeing your mindset to beat cancer that you've been told you have very little chance of surviving. And so that's a good part of the movie. The reason we did the movie in the initial first place is he said, Hal, how many people read self-help books? What percentage of society? And I was like, I think it's like 5%. He said, what percentage of society watch films? And I said, the other 95%. And he said, so if you want to really change the world with The Miracle Morning, you've got to have it in multiple formats. So if you are like not a reader and you're like, no way, go to miraclemorningmovie.com, miraclemorningmovie.com, and you can watch it on Amazon Prime or iTunes or, you know, wherever movies are streamed. But then, go to Amazon and grab the book. If it's a quick read, it's like 140 pages. But that to me is that's the best step. And then the last thing I'll say is join the Miracle Morning community, which is a Facebook group. You can get miraclemorningcommunity.com redirects to it. But there's 300,000 people from over 200 countries in that group that do the Miracle Morning every day, and they wake up and they support each other and they encourage each other and they share ideas and swap smoothie recipes and all sorts of things. But that's a great place to connect, so you don't feel like it's just you, but you're with a community.
And I understand there's an app as well, correct?
Yeah. That's long overdue. We finally, after so many requests, we finally released the Miracle Morning app in January 1. And it's basically a 30-day challenge app that helps people kind of facilitate and track and be accountable to their first Miracle Morning 30-day challenge. And then, of course, it extends beyond that so they can keep their streak going.
That's awesome. Yeah. So kind of gamifies it and makes it more fun to hold yourself accountable, because, I'll be the first one here to admit that, yeah, I used to do the Miracle Morning. And since, I was doing it, and then I kind of just fell off, and, it kind of comes in waves, and then I'll wake up and I'll do it again and get into journaling again. And I've kept the journaling consistent, but I've taken out the, I guess all the other bits besides exercise. So I do as far as savers, I do E and S. But I'm missing the. So I need to beef up my own personal morning routine. So I think I'm going to go and pick up that app to hold myself accountable, because I love that. And one point here, this book here, for people who are watching, this one is one of the books that you like I said early on, that we had David Osborne on the podcast. I can't remember what episode it goes. Probably it's solid like 50 episodes ago, but incredible guest, like you mentioned, and super successful person, helped you write this book. And this one is for millionaires. So it's Miracle Morning Millionaires. And it's like everything in our community that you want. And it's not just a real estate book. It's how to think about wealth building and mold the ideas of morning and wealth building and doing everything that you're saying to actually, like you said, find that level 10 success financially. So is there one takeaway from helping David write that book that you think would apply to our audience of military real estate investors?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of alluded to it, the correlation between financial success and early rising. Most people, the majority of people if you study the world's most successful people, you find that that's one thing they have in common, is most of them were early risers. Not all of them, right? But most of them woke up before they had to. And that's kind of the essence of the Miracle Morning in a sense, is, most people wake up when they have to. They literally look at their schedule and they go, okay, I have to be somewhere at this time. So when's the last possible minute that I could wake up to not be late, right? I call that a mediocre morning, essentially. But yeah, the world's most successful people typically go, okay, when do I have to be up? I'm going to back that up by 30 or 60 minutes, and I'm going to dedicate the first part of my day to my personal development, to becoming the person that I need to be to create the results that I want in my life, not just today, but, indefinitely. So David really brought in, the book is Miracle Morning Millionaires, What the Wealthy Do Before 8 a.m. That Will Make You Rich. And he really brought in that correlation of how successful people, how that there is that correlation between the financial success and the early rising piece.
So chances are you're not going to be writing the mediocre morning.
Actually, my JP Sears is.
I'll help you co-author it. I'm living it right
you're
now.
You're living it. JP Sears is a friend of mine, and we've talked about co-authoring that book at some point, because he does a lot of satire. So.
Well, this book, Miracle Morning Millionaires, is a mandatory read for my my two boys. So
nice.
Thank you for writing it.
That's awesome. Yeah, you got it, brother.
Yeah. All right, Hal, we're coming down to the end of this, and I want to kick this as a bonus round. This is the same four questions that we ask each and every guest of the previous 234 guests on the Active Duty Passive Income podcast. You ready? All right. Question number one, what book or software solution or something what's really been crushing it for you lately in the self-improvement space?
Yeah. So it happens to be a book that my name is on, but I don't get credit for writing it. It's Miracle Morning for Parents and Families Playbook. And this is actually a real estate investor, Mike McCarthy, right? He's one of the top.
We interviewed Mike as well.
You've had Mike. Yeah, so
Mike was on the show. Yeah.
So he and I and his wife, we co-authored the Miracle Morning for Parents and Families. And then they had this idea to do a playbook, which was basically they have seven routines that they do as a family. One of them being their family values, one being their family meeting. And when he brought the idea to me, I thought it was a brilliant idea. And they just executed it even better than I imagined. And so my family, we've been doing our family meeting every week, where we review and we develop our family values. So this book has been a game changer for our family. And so yeah, it's Miracle Morning for Parents and Families Playbook.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I remember now that you bring this up, Hal, Mike was talking about this and when we interviewed him, he was still in development on the book. But he broke down all seven of those. And, you know, I don't have kids yet, but I know that it can be just a complete game changer for me and my wife. We now do, you know, monthly meetings and stuff, and we're kind of kicking that into high gear. But that's an incredible resource. Love that. Question number two: who's your biggest hero and why?
Honestly, I'd say my mom. She taught me how to respond to adversity when I was 9 years old. My 1.5-year-old sister, 18-month-old sister Amory. She was born with a really rare heart defect. And I woke up one Saturday morning. I was just me, my mom, and my baby sister that were at home. And I heard my mom screaming across the hall, "Oh, my baby, my baby." And at first I thought she was playing. And then as I came to, I realized, oh, those are horrific screams. And I ran across the hall and my baby sister was dead in her arms. My mom was giving her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And I can't even imagine I can only imagine as a parent to lose your baby. But within 6 months, my mother was leading a support group for other parents who had lost children. My mother was leading a fundraiser every year for the hospital. My mom and dad both together, really, I could say my parents are my heroes. They were leading a fundraiser to raise money for the hospital that saved my sister or attempted to save my sister's life. And so I really learned from my mom and my dad that you take a tragedy and you turn it into a triumph, right? You take your challenges, your adversity, and you find a way to serve others. And then that's what turns, you know, what would otherwise be just a devastating experience into something that actually has a positive outcome in the end.
Wow. Super powerful. Incredible. Incredible. Question number three, Hal. Bringing some levity to this, what do you like to do for fun?
Basketball. I love basketball. And so my wife and I, our family just moved to a 30-acre ranch. We sold our house in the city. We're actually neighbors with David Osborne, and that was a hard one to leave that neighborhood. But we sold our house in the city and got 30 acres. And then I've always wanted to have a basketball court on my, you know, in my backyard, my property or whatever. And so finally we had the room. And so So we have a hoop in the back and a full half court. And so I go out there every day and shoot. That's like my meditation, my fun, my relaxation.
Do you have pickup games from local community at your court?
Not yet, but we did. A buddy of mine just bought a house 3 minutes away, and he's loves basketball. So I think that we'll be, he literally moved in a couple weeks ago. So I think we'll be playing that pretty regularly.
Yeah. I'm just glad 30 acres was big enough for the court. I'm just picturing like this massive court. As a resident tall guy, everyone picks me for basketball, and then they realize, oh, I'm like dribbling with like two hands.
Nice.
They're like, funny. Oh, you must be good at basketball. No. Joke's on you.
I'm gangly.
Yeah, exactly.
Final question for you. I mean, you've dropped so many helpful nuggets for people listening to this live, watching it live, or you know, listening to the podcast. If you had three nuggets of super, you know, quick and impactful nuggets of wisdom for maybe someone who's junior enlisted in the military, or a junior officer, they're starting out their military career and they're in our community because they want to learn how to invest in real estate, but they just don't have that mindset piece put together just yet. They have the vision, they know where they want to go, but they don't have the fuel to put them in the car to get there, because they don't have that piece. What would those nuggets be, man?
Yeah. So the first one I would say is to love the life you have while you create the life of your dreams. So many of us are waiting until someday in the future, when I have this, when I get out of the military, when I finally make money, when this eventually happens, then I can finally be happy. And the reality is, if you don't figure out how to be happy now with the life that you have, you likely won't figure out how to be happy with the life that you think that you want, because there's always going to be challenges. It's never going to be perfect. And so you're blessed with one life, and really none of us know how much longer that we have. I've almost lost my life multiple times, and I've been really reminded of that. And so again, it's love the life you have while you create the life of your dreams. Enjoy your life. Enjoy this moment. To me, there's arguably nothing more important than enjoying every moment of our lives. Because that's why we're alive, right? To actually enjoy this, to be grateful. So that's number one. Number two is to focus on becoming overdoing, right? Meaning we've been conditioned to think if you want to accomplish more, you got to do more, you got to work harder. And while there's merit to that, I believe the real secret to success, which is kind of what the Miracle Morning taught me, is the real secret's not about doing more, it's about becoming more. So instead of focusing on doing more, when you focus on becoming more, the doing often becomes easier and less, because you're a better version of the person that you are now. And so again, I invite all of you to do that Miracle Morning, to dedicate that time each day to becoming the level 10 person that you need to be, to that will then be able to create the level 10 success that you want in your life. And then third, I would say that when you finally get to the point in your life that you've been working so hard for so long, I've found my experience has been, looking back, you almost never wish it would have happened any sooner. You know, every day we wake up and we're like, I wish I was further along than I am. And we live in a state of constant like frustration and scarcity, and I'm not where I want to be, and look how far ahead they are, and it's not moving fast enough. And we're in this sense of like, I'm not complete right now. I'm not where I want to be right now. And why can't I be where I want to be faster? And then I found that when you finally get there, you look back and you go, oh, it was supposed to take this long. I had to endure everything I endured to become the person that I needed to be to create the life that I'm now living. And so with that hindsight, wake up every day and be at peace with where you are, while, yes, maintaining a healthy sense of urgency to do the things, to become the person that you need to be, to go where you want to go. Right. But again, it's not about not waiting until someday in the future to actually live the life that you deserve to live and enjoy the life that you have.
That's all fine and dandy, Hal, but why can't I be like Eric?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Eric does set a really high bar.
Doing my best to live in the moment. And actually, one thing I wrote down was that how much I appreciate you're consistently focused on like the importance of now. So I'm glad you brought up that as your last point, because that's really important to me. It's really, really difficult, especially now, to keep focus on the importance of now. And you do a great job of that, at least reminding us all to give it a go.
Yeah. Being present. Being present, I think, is something that I'm constantly battling and learning. And I think as you grow, whether you're in the military and you're climbing the ladder and you're ranking up and you're doing that and you're getting more responsibility, or you're out and you're in the civilian world, or you're an entrepreneur, at some point or another, you're going to face that bear, that imposter syndrome bear. And the one way that I've found a way to help do better and get over that is living in the present. And I think that's you had a great reminder of the importance of that, Hal. Hal, so much, man, so much in this podcast, guys. You got to just rewind the whole thing, listen to it again. And when you're done, rewind it again and listen to it a third time. And while you're listening to it, what I want you to do, if there's someone in your life right now who can benefit from what Hal is saying, and honestly, if I think everyone can benefit, what I want you to do is screenshot those little two buttons on your phone right now. You listen to it on your phone, screenshot this and text it to someone, a loved one, a friend, someone you care about, someone in your shop, someone at work. Text them this link, tell them to listen to this, because you never know whose life you can influence, whose life you can transform. And Hal, you're living and breathing proof that, you can get over almost anything and you could transform into what you want to be and reach that level 10 success. So we thank you for pouring into our community.
My pleasure, man. Thank you for having me, Kevin and Eric. I really appreciate this.
Yeah. Thank you, Hal.
All right. Thanks. And we will hopefully have you back on the show soon.
Another amazing episode in the books. Thanks so much to our special guest. And thank you for listening. Don't forget to tap the subscribe button now to make sure you don't miss an episode. Or head over to our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to grab all of our free resources and discover how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today.